To children and youth for singing, giving. I was moved. It was a blessing to hear you share your voices and song, and God is good. What a privilege I have to preach after hearing singing. Let's take our hymns of the church and stand and turn to number 698. Have a change of position and exercise our lungs here a little bit. And we, looking to the Lord, help me to be holy, O Father of light. I'm going to be speaking some about sanctification today, and so this song fits well with that. 698. Know me, help me to be holy, O Father of light, guilt burdened and lowly, I bow in thy sight. How shall a stained conscience dare gaze on thy face, even though in thy presence thou grant me a place? Help me to be holy. 5 year divine, why conquer so slowly this nature of mine? Stamp deeply thy likeness where Satan's hath been. Expel with thy brightness my darkness and sin. Help me to be holy, O Spirit divine. Come sanctify holy this temple of mine. Now cast out each idol, here set up thy throne. Reign without rival, supreme and alone. Amen. You may be seated. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we sang an awesome song there. To be more like you, why conquer so slowly this nature of mine? Lord, we are selfish by nature, but Lord, we desire to become more like you. Lord, to walk with you. Lord, that the world can see Jesus through us. Lord, that our children can see Jesus because of our actions, our reactions, our life. That our neighbors can see Jesus because of our life. Lord, continue to sanctify us and make us holy, make us practical. It's not just a spirit, mystical, theological thing, but it's very practical. How do we live our lives? And so, Lord, would you speak to us now? We know that you are with us because you say that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And you say that you resist the proud. We give grace to the humble. And again, we just humble ourselves before you and desire that you would be in our midst, Lord. And Father, it's not by accident that each of us are here. This is not just a coincidence, and it'll never be quite the same with each person that is here. Father, you see the hearts, Lord. You see where we are. You see what is going on, the wrestlings maybe in our hearts, or maybe the joy, maybe the peace. Father, thank you for that also. But Lord, would you tailor this message, your message, to each of our hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Again, greetings. It's good to be here with you, with the saints. Sunday is a day of worship, day of rest. I appreciated the verse on the board. I've been reading through the Bible in a year with a Bible reading plan, and this one goes through. I guess I don't have it here with me, but it doesn't just start in Genesis and just work its way through. It starts. It was Genesis, and then it went to. I can't remember now. But anyways, I think it's five different places in the Bible. And so it's giving me a good rounded perspective, I guess. And this was one of the ones that I was reading here lately. I wonder what it means. We know that God didn't change. He was very concerned about the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy. And we know God doesn't change. Now, the Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ, I believe. The Sabbath rest. But I wonder if there's some more to keeping a day holy, a day not doing your own pleasure, honoring the Lord in it. If you take a delight in the Lord, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Anyways, I saw that verse, and I was contemplating that a little bit also this morning. Thank you for whoever puts those verses up here. I appreciate that every Sunday. Okay, for a title, selfishness versus maturity, basically is just a simple title. And this is just a basic message, nothing new. It's something that God is working in my life. And different times, at different points in our lives, things stand out to us. And so this is something that I've been meditating on, and maybe we all can learn something. And I know we have age ranges here from very young to, I think, 90? Are you 90, Miss Pat? 89, okay. I think she's the oldest one here. And I don't believe that we'll ever be completely selfless. We are born with a selfish nature. But our goal is, our desire is to become more like Christ. And Christ, he was born human and yet God. Some of those things we can't really understand. You know, how could you be completely human with the temptations of the human flesh and completely God? How did that all work? I don't quite get my mind all around that. But we do know that Christ was tempted in every point, but did not sin. That's what the scripture tells us. I'm excited to hear there was several new births, spiritual births, here in the last couple weeks. And I rejoice with you. May the Lord bless you as you grow. The first thing that I wrote down here was that after our conversion or our allegiance change, we're still left with our natural bodies and with our natural desires. Our selfish nature didn't leave just because we were born again. Now we have the Spirit of God living in us and empowering us, giving us grace to walk after the things of the Spirit, after the Spirit of God. But that selfishness didn't just automatically leave, even though, you became a Christian, even though you were born again, born of the Spirit of God, there was a definite translation from darkness into light, and there's a decision point where you have decided to follow Christ. That is good. That is right. And so the old things have passed away, and all things have become new. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the old selfish nature in you doesn't have any pull, doesn't have any drag on you. And sometimes, I believe I experienced this when I was young, converted. Okay, so I'm a new creature, but why do I feel tempted in this area? Now, temptation isn't sin, but yielding to that temptation is sin. And really, when you boil all of sin down, it comes down to selfishness. So I've heard some people say, and I believe I was there already, why, even though I'm born again, even though all things have become new, why am I wrestling with my selfish nature? And so that's something that I want to look at this morning, and to encourage us in walking, encourage us to press in and go for the gold, so to say. So now the Spirit of God is empowering us and giving us grace and how to act, how to speak, how to be motivated for His glory, for His purposes. But we must continually be renewed in our mind and continually be sanctified in our bodies. Now I know some people would say that would get justification and sanctification kind of mixed up, and there are different views on sanctification also, and the renewing of the mind. But I, at least by my experience, I see that it's an ongoing thing. It's a renewing day by day. It's a sanctifying through our lives. So just being, Romans and Hebrews and different places, it talks about being renewed in our mind. That's not a one-time thing. That is a daily choice. And there seems to be times in our lives where there's a breaking that happens in our lives, where we recognize maybe a deeper selfishness or something. There's a deeper breaking and a deeper commitment or a deeper renewal. That happens different times throughout our life. I believe that's happened in my life. And I want to encourage us in continuing to pursue God, not necessarily looking for experiences, but daily walking in grace and walking in the power that God gives us. I'm not talking about some, self-effort, some pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, because that starts with self-effort. That's not what we're talking about. It's walking in the Spirit. But like the verse says, that those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. So what does that mean? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's think about that some, and I'll come back to that. So we're not only worshiping God in spirit, but in truth. As we walk through life, are we allowing God to sanctify us continually? My observation and experience is that if we don't press in, purposefully pursue God, we will revert back to our selfishness, a me-first attitude and outlook on life. Reverting back to a selfish, me-first attitude and outlook on life. Again, very basic. We are born with self as the most important And in a sense, a baby needs to express itself, needs to express, you know, its needs to be fed, to be clothed, etc. But that selfishness is just ingrained in the child. And as we mature, we want to have less of self and more of God, more of the Spirit of God working in us and through us. So now, since we were talking a little bit about children, I want to go down a little bit of a rabbit trail, then come back again. Because, for numerous reasons, but as I was studying and praying, burden just really settled on my heart again for our children. How that, a child is born into a home, and that child is like a clean slate. Yes, they are selfish, but as they are growing, as they are maturing, as they are learning new things, we have the privilege and the responsibility as parents to put on that slate, on that heart, in that impressionable heart, we have that privilege to direct the child. And we do our children a great disservice to not bring clear direction and loving discipline into their lives. Habits and patterns formed in childhood will have long-lasting and possibly even eternal effects on your child. Let me say that again. Habits and patterns formed in childhood will have long-lasting, possibly even eternal effects on your child. That really put the fear of God in me this morning as I was thinking about that. Yes, I do believe in the grace of God, and that the grace of God is all-powerful, and that your child needs to experience the grace of God and come to a place of repentance and a place of allowing the grace of God to come into their life, and that will work in your child's life. But what a great disservice we do to our child if we are not shaping and molding and directing already from a young child that selfish heart. And so while the little person in our life is pliable and naturally has respect and honor for you as the parent, let us be faithful to mold and direct, correct their lives to a life of cheerful obedience, complete submission, living their life to bless others, even before they are born again, before they have an allegiance change. They need to learn to cheerfully obey, submit to their parents, live their life for others, and it'll be much easier for them later on. As a balance, maybe, I do believe healthy individuals do need to be able to express themselves and share their opinions. We don't want to raise our children to be doormats, necessarily. I think it is good to have a child be able to express themselves, but in an honoring way, and especially when they're young, they shouldn't be trying to push their viewpoint. But as they grow older, because we need to, as we're older, we are part of a body. We're not just individuals. We need to learn how to submit and support one another. So we all have opinions and have ideas, and we need to be able to express them and to feel like our opinion is heard, but also learn to bow our hearts, learn to submit and support the whole. And so that's something that I think we should have a have a balance in teaching and directing our children to that they would, yes, learn to joyfully, cheerfully obey, but as they get older, to draw your child out and to hear, you know, how do you feel? What are you thinking? As that balance may be there. As a child matures, they should be encouraged to talk about how they feel and also take, and then also take direction and correction, since we're not islands in ourselves. We must learn to get along with each other and be a support to the whole. I think that's very important. So again, naturally we revert back to our selfishness, back to just the way we feel, the way we, you know, me, myself, and I. That's our natural. That's the way we naturally think. And so, to encourage our children to think of others and to have those patterns, to pattern your mind after thinking about others. And thinking how they can bless others, live for others, etc. Thinking a little bit more, coming back to those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So some people have gotten mystical in their theology, where everything is, you know, spirit, and it doesn't come to a practical outworking in their life. And I guess that's one of the thoughts that I have about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Truth is the Word of God. The Bible says that thy word is truth. And we're going to read, I have quite a lot of scripture here that I want to read. This won't be a very long message. It was, it didn't turn out to be very, very long, I guess, when I was studying here, but it just... It spoke to me, and I hope you all can receive something from it. So, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So there is that part of the spirit where God is ministering to us in our spirit, in our spiritual consciousness. But also, we were given, you know, we are body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies are made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And God also ministers to us in our intellect, in our mind, in our emotions, in our feelings. And I think sometimes we divorce our intellect, maybe, from how do I say? I guess what my burden is here is that we also allow God's Spirit to speak into our thinking, into our thought process, into our heart. Another verse says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So our thought patterns and the habits that we form is often formed from the thoughts that we think. And we start going down this thought process, and we can get off because of our thoughts are going down a certain way. It can be anything from, you know, moral thoughts. We can soon, if we are allowing our thoughts to think immoral thoughts, it can easily take us down to where we are sinning, and or lots of other ways. We can have our thoughts, our mind, our intellect. God wants to also renew that. And so that we're not having a selfish thought process or a selfish motivation, maybe, that everything gets filtered through a selfish thought process. So part of my thought this morning and my burden is that we would allow God to minister and allow God to renew our thoughts, the way we process, the way we think about things. Naturally speaking, you know, we're going to be thinking about me, myself, and I. How does this affect me? You know, we feel hurt by something. Something is done against us. And naturally, we want to hold a grudge, maybe. We want to even get back at somebody. That's the natural part. Those are our natural thought processes. Well, what does a spirit-controlled, you know, God's spirit-controlled thought process, when we bring truth into our thoughts, into the way we think and our makeup, in this example of somebody hurting us, what would be the thought process of someone that is renewed in their mind? Yes, things hurt. They do, you know, and words, actions, whatever. Things do hurt. But what is a redeemed thought process? How would that look in someone's life? Maybe look for ways to heap coals of fire on their head. That's a term that we use. In other words, look for a way to bless them, and that actually motivates them to change, to pray for them, to, there's numerous ways that after our thoughts have been redeemed and renewed, and we are now thinking with God's Spirit, that is, we are processing what has happened in this life through a thought process that has been renewed. And I guess also what I'm saying is that it does need a continual renewal or sanctification. Sometimes we just find out, you know, we react selfishly. I do. And I, like, Lord, I don't want to react like that. I don't want to be selfish. Sanctify me. And what am I thinking? What am I, why did I act that way? Because remember that actions come out of your thought process. From your heart, from the way you think is the way you will act. So when we are acting wrong or thinking wrong, we need some sanctifying in that area. Okay, and again, I'm not talking about a self-effort, you know, just positive thinking. Yes, I think we do need positive thinking, but not the way. So everything that is good has a, everything that is from God, the devil likes to twist it and make it iniquity. One time, someone told me, or I looked it up, that the definition for iniquity is twisted truth. That could be brought in there, you know, twisted truth. So God brings truth, and there is truth, and we need to have positive thinking. But the twisted part is where it's self done, or it's, you know, you have positive thinking just by forcing yourself to think a certain way. Or whatever. That again is self-effort, and we want to walk in the Spirit and not in this, not in ourself. And so, let's come to the Lord and say, God, I'm not thinking right. I am not thinking right. Renew my mind so that I can think properly, so I can think right about this situation, whatever it might be. I want to look at John chapter 17. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Christ's prayer there. I was encouraged as I read what some of Jesus' prayer here in John chapter 17. So as we're thinking about selfishness versus maturity, or oftentimes, selfishness, me, myself, and I, do not blend very well together. You take two selfish people, you try and put them together, and it just doesn't work. But we are not islands in ourselves. We are designed by God to be a unit, to be with others, to blend with others. And that's what really stood out to me here. We're going to read starting in verse 9 to John chapter 17. We'll read 9 to the end of the chapter. So we're thinking about how Jesus is very concerned that we be one. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. So we are still in this world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That's another thought. Children think that they'll be happiest if they grab, if they, keep something for themselves. But we as adults know that if the child learns to share, learns to give, learns to turn the other cheek when the child smacks them, that joy, that will be true joy. That will be instead of the little bit of pleasure that comes from, me, myself, and I, true joy will come when we give of ourselves. And so that words jumped out at me, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Again, remember I was saying it, through the truth we are sanctified. And the truth comes into our mind, into our intellect. It comes through our mind, and it affects the way we think. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So a oneness among the believers will convince the world that Jesus was sent from God. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus is concerned and is praying that he wants to be in us and to work this sanctification, work this truth in us. and then we can be one with him. Now let's go to Ephesians. And I was blessed this morning as Elvin was reading Colossians. It's actually a very much a parallel. Ephesians and Colossians, the passage that he read there, is very much a parallel to what I plan to read out of Ephesians. All right, let's start in Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 19. Sorry. Yes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That means we have to have less of ourselves. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's notice here that glory in the church. It's not just about individuals. It's about the whole. It's about the church. And then we'll read chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Because of all that, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. A better word for that vocation might be a calling. Worthy of the calling that ye wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the gift of Christ is exceedingly abundantly above, like in the previous chapter. So we have this measure. The measure that is available to us is exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And now we'll go to verse 12, jump down to verse 12. So this grace is working in us in verse 7. Now verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's something to measure ourselves by, the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we'll read here now to the end of the chapter. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So here's a vain mind, walking with a vain mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. There's ignorance, that's the opposite of truth, one of the opposites. Because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now here's some instructions on what we are to do. Because, so the first one is anger. In our natural bodies, we get angry. I mean, that is one of our emotions. And so this is telling us, what do we do with that anger? Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So when your anger is not sanctified, I believe there is a, and I have to be careful here, I'm not sure what is a proper anger necessarily. But there is a rising that comes up inside of us sometimes when, you know, whether it be we're sinned against. And there's a bit of, you know, now is that a proper anger? What is, you know, to be sanctified? What, how was Jesus, you know, how did he deal with anger? Something to think about. So we don't want to sin with our anger. We want to make sure that it's taken care of. Like it says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. 28, let him that stole, so here's another thing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Another thing that he's bringing out, the renewed mind. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's a golden verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And we'll just go right on into chapter 5. I actually have down to verse 21. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So keep in mind, we're thinking about our selfish nature and how we want to be and we need to be sanctified, the renewing of our mind, and working together as a whole. That's kind of the theme that we're pursuing here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God with a sweet for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So this, the renewed mind gives thanks instead of filthiness and foolishness and jesting. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, they're made evident, by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So if you're sleeping, if you're selfish, you know, I'm just putting that in, but basically the picture is there in verse 14, somebody that is lethargic or that is maybe just slipping through life, not really on purpose, that is a selfish response. Arise, Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this, again, a renewed mind will be doing this. We'll be singing hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there again is the one another. And then Paul goes through and talks to specific groups of people, wives, husbands, in chapter 6, children, and then fathers, servants, and masters. Then I want to pick up in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10, thinking about the armor of God. So this is, again, something we are putting on, renewing and putting on. It's an on-purpose thing. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is part of the old human fleshly body and that needs sanctified. If you find yourself wrestling against flesh and blood, that needs sanctified. But we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then down to verse 24, the last verse. Grace be with them all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So that sincerity also speaks of truth and of purpose and vision, not just a half-heartedness. So going back, thinking a little bit about what we've discussed so far, naturally, we are born selfish. Selfishness will keep us out of heaven. That's staggering to think about, that there is no way that in our selfishness, without the blood of Christ applied to our life, selfishness will keep us out of heaven. Our sin will keep us out of heaven. And so we do believe. We trust the Lord. We come to a point where we say, God, I want to be your child. I want to be filled with your spirit. Come, live in me, empower me, change me. I want to live for you. I want to build your kingdom. I want to, be a part of your kingdom. Then as we're walking through life, we find out that there's a lot of selfishness still in us. Why is this? Something wrong with me? Let's remember that it's a renewing of our mind, a renewing, it's a sanctifying, it's an ongoing sanctifying work. We are selfish by nature, and that selfishness, if we don't keep pursuing after Christ and walking with Him, we will revert back to that selfishness and the sins of the flesh. And so let's keep our focus, keep a clear vision of serving the Lord and of being a part of God's kingdom, and allow Him to work in us. And often that comes through our brothers or our sisters, our wives, speaking to me as a husband, and that hurts. That, you know, it doesn't feel too good when my wife points something out. But that is part of the sanctifying work that I need in my walk, in my desire to be part of God's kingdom and to walk this out. Let's also, as parents, be very diligent and view our responsibilities seriously to teach and train and to bring our little ones up in the fear of the Lord, because it'll go much easier for them if their heart is already bent toward, if their thought process, their habits and patterns are already bent toward others and toward less of themselves and more of God. God's ways are others, living for others. So let's be faithful in that as we are teaching and training our children. And also, as adults, we are not islands in ourselves, but it can go awfully hard sometimes to relate to other people that just rub us the wrong way. Or, how do we as a whole, God wants a holy bride, yes, individually, but a church, a body. We are here as a group, and how do we blend and give and take and bless and encourage and express our opinions, but yet be able to lay them down for the benefit of the whole? How to have strong convictions, we know where we're going, but yet to not criticize or judge our brother or sister that may look at it a little bit different. Some of those things, they are a challenge, and it comes down to sometimes our own selfishness. We want to build our kingdom instead of God's kingdom, or apply it to your life, however it could be. So my encouragement today is to be one with Christ, to renew our minds, and to be one with one another. God gave us the blessing of being with a body of believers, and let us press in and be one with them. And where we need to change our mindset or our pattern of thinking to allow the Spirit of God to also work on our mind and change us from the inside out. Amen.